Our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we read just a few minutes ago, perilous times shall come. And I don't know about you, but that's not a very nice list. There's not much positive on that list. Instruction, awareness. God loves us so much that he sent the Lord Jesus to save us from our sin. God loves us so much, he always tells us the truth. Always. That is significant. Don't take it for granted. Seek to understand it and thank God for it. We are living in those perilous times. And in the perilous times in which we live, there is confusion everywhere. And the more you listen to other people, the more confused you will become. And the more you listen to the Word of God, the instruction from God through the Word, the more stable you will become. We touched on this a little bit in men's Bible study yesterday. All the voices, everybody's answers, and all of these information avenues of confusion. The more we listen to the voices of this world, the more confused we will be. The more we listen to the Word of God and God's work in our life through the Word, the more stable we will be. Yes, we are in perilous times. They have come. We'll pray, then we'll look at the text. Father, lead us in this passage. There's a lot here. There's some things here that make us uncomfortable. But Father, we first of all thank you for loving us. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth, so that by your grace, through your Holy Spirit, we'll be able to handle the issues of life. The ups and the downs, the disappointments, the setbacks, the victories, all that make up life. I pray for stability for your people, a strengthening of your people. And I pray for those that do not know the Lord, perhaps even someone in this room. Maybe everybody's a believer. We rejoice in that. But for someone here that's never come to Christ in repentance and faith to be born again, I pray that you will draw them today by your Holy Spirit. Draw them to Christ and they would respond. So please work as only you can do. We have much to learn. And we ask that you will teach us, not for knowledge's sake, but to know the truth and to live the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Last days. This know also, old preacher Paul, young preacher Timothy, you have to know this. You have to know this. You have to be aware of this. These are tough days, Timothy. You think, man, if Timothy had it tough, look what we're dealing with. Different issues, different responsibilities, but it's always been tough. To put forth truth lovingly and firmly against a world that is running away from God. Perilous days. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, the word in the New Testament language, it basically difficult days, dangerous days. What are your expectations? And Paul's helping Timothy with his expectations. That he serve the Lord faithfully, wholeheartedly, humbly, and for the duration. Keep on a going, Timothy. Here's what you need to know. Don't be surprised by this. And we're going to go through this list of issues that none of us like. But Timothy, and really to the believer today, as we go through this instruction, don't be surprised. Timothy, don't be surprised. You're going to face this. And don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be discouraged by it. Know this. You're not going to stop it. Perilous days shall come. They are unstoppable. But you have a responsibility to those God has entrusted under your pastoral care, just like we have responsibility to those that God has placed in our lives as Christians. So when you look at all of these challenges that the gospel faces, the truth, don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. I don't know which one's worse. You get to the point, I don't think I'll see anything I haven't seen before, and then something happens. I didn't see that before. And I've done some firsts in the ministry after 30 whatever years. I've had things come up I had to deal with I've never had to deal with before. But don't be surprised by it or discouraged. Know this. Christian, even today, as this is recorded for us by the Holy Spirit of God for our learning, don't be discouraged by the perilous times in which believers live today. Don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. Then the first verse of this chapter helps us understand the intensity of Paul to Timothy. The original language in this statement, perilous times shall come, portrays that these perilous times will arrive with such force and inevitability that nothing can keep them out. They press themselves in and prevail. Now, he told that to Timothy a long time ago, and a lot of history, a lot of things have taken place from Timothy's day to our day. But there are connections in the perilous times. Satan hates God. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates the Holy Spirit of God. He hates everybody. He hates all of mankind. I mean, it's a mess. And when the truth of Christ goes forward, Satan hates that. He just hates it. Perilous times. Difficult times, dangerous times have been around really since Adam sinned. But they intensified when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take away the sin of the world. And these perilous times exist. You're not going to stop it. Timothy, you're not going to stop it. What are you going to do? Well, don't be surprised and don't quit. Keep doing right. Keep preaching truth. Keep living truth. And help as many people as you can. Have your heart, mind, and soul prepared by the Word of God. By truth. What do we encourage Christians to do is stay with what you know to be true. from the Word of God, truth. Be anchored to the truth. Well, what about this? What about this? What does the Bible say? So the question then is, are we in the last days? I mean, in these last days, you know, when does that start? With the next election? People will say they act like the next election will begin the last days. It's a biblical term, and to keep your place, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 1. We'll pick it up at verse 8, Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In like manner, he's coming in the clouds to call the believers home. So, to answer the biblical, what we would say that the question of the last days, from the ascension of Christ in Acts 1, through his promised return to catch the church age believers out of the world. 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up. The Latin uses the word rapture, or from the Latin comes the word rapture, but the caught up. So the last days are those days between the ascension and return of Christ. So they've been going on for quite a long time. Now, I think we can say we're living in the latter end of the last days. you look at it, everything is in place for the Antichrist to come and rule the world. We're seeing a surge of religion, a surge of spirituality. We're seeing technology in place to run the mark of the beast. We're seeing things we've never seen before. And more world leaders are saying things like, what we really need is a ruler that will just come in and rule the whole world. We just need a ruler. We need a one ruler world. People are saying that. Leaders are saying that. It's coming out more and more. We just need the world to unite behind a leader. Well, that's coming, so I think we can say, not that we set dates. That's the Lord's business. He's always right, and I'm usually wrong. He's always right. So when Jesus comes, it'll be perfect. It'll be the exact right time. And it sure looks like it'll be soon, but we trust him, and we leave that in his hands and in his care. But we are living in the last days. So, yes, we are. Yet, by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, and the Word of God he's given us to guide us, and the local church where God's Word is preached and taught, we can live without surprise and without discouragement. We, believers, born-again ones, we can keep the stress level down. Well, in order to get it, to keep it down, you have to get it down. You have to get it down to keep it down, okay? Get the stress level down. Keep it down. You know, for a lot of people, their problems throughout life, they problems change, they come and go, but sometimes people live on the stress level's the same, only the problems change the name or the thing, and it's just, God will help us with that. He'll help us understand that. He'll bring us to victory in some of those areas. But reminder, we're not going to look these up for the sake of time, but just reminders, we've looked at this, Colossians 1, about our Lord Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So yes, this list is tough, and it's worldly, that we're going to read through here briefly. Yet, we're delivered from that power, the power of that darkness. We will be delivered from the very presence of sin. Christian, sin has no control over you anymore. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You are free to love God and serve God and obey Jesus Christ. Then why do we still sin? Well, we're still, we've got a lot of problems, a lot of things that God's helping us with. That's why we confess our sin, which means admitting it, no blame shifting, admission, and going a different direction. God forgives. We learn. We grow. We keep going for the honor and glory of the Lord. But we are delivered. We are no longer the servants. We're no longer under the authority of sin. We're now under the authority of Christ. We will be delivered from the very presence of sin. Nobody in this room can tell us what that's like. Never been there. I mean, I've known some godly people, and I'm sure you have as well, and you thank God for them, but I've never really lived a day or in a place where there is no sin. The Bible says in Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You get the connection? What has sin done to mankind? Tears, death, sorrow, crying, pain. We're living in perilous days, as Christians have done since the ascension of Christ. Don't be surprised, don't be discouraged, and don't let it stop you in your walk with the Lord. Don't let it discourage you to the point where you just don't care anymore. Now, sin in these perilous days, the second thing we're going to look at this morning is first of all, the perilous days shall come, and that's pressing in, and you're not going to stop it, you're not going to change it. And contrary to some false teaching out there, we're not going to clean up the world so Jesus can set up his kingdom. It's not happening. It's pretty obvious. And the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. The perilous times are going to crowd in and close in. Jesus is going to come, and then God's going to, he's got it. Now this list, we could just skip it. Maybe rather do that, but God wants us to face these things so that we're aware. Sin is exceeding, it's exceedingly ugly and so destructive. It just is. And somehow we expect different outcomes from sin. It's always the same. It's always exceedingly ugly. It's always destructive. Sin has never helped anyone. It only harms. So you look at the perilous times and you start out, and I'm not going to elaborate on all of these. I think there's 18 of them. Yes, there's 18 of them. I wrote out 18. It starts, though, with the most obvious. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, that's nothing new. Who started that? Adam started it. And if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you fight this every day to love Jesus more than you love yourself. That's how you make your decisions. You love God more than you love yourself. But in the perilous days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, loving themselves first and most. Now we can look at our culture and say that just permeates culture. It's everywhere. Secondly, men shall be covetous, lacking contentment, never satisfied, boasters. In the New Testament language, the idea is exaggerating abilities or accomplishments. That's pretty normal. That's how we would think of boasting. The exaggerating of abilities or accomplishments. Boy, isn't that a problem today? And you look at this and you think, boy, them other guys. Boy, them other guys. Let's get them other guys. We have to look at this humbly before the Lord and continue to seek His deliverance in these things. But please remember, God will deliver you from this. Anything here. When you trust Him and when you take the necessary steps. I mentioned this the other day. I'll mention it again. Sometimes people say, well, if God wants me to stop boasting and stop being, you know, He'll just have to stop me. I mean, he's strong. Yes, He is strong enough to do that. But He wants you to stop boasting by stop boasting. Just stop doing it and trust Him to give you the strength to do that. Or covetousness. Our culture thrives on covetousness. Wanting more, not being satisfied with what you have. The next thing you buy will finally just, it'll just finally click everything into place. Everything makes sense. Well, just this one more purchase, and you know how that goes. Proud. Rebellion against God, that's pride. Blasphemers, taking God's name in vain, of course, blaspheming that way. But it's anything that will diminish divine honor. You know, one of the ways God is being blasphemed today in our own culture is wicked people doing godless, wicked things and using the Bible to support it. That's blasphemy. God overlooks our sin. God overlooks our wickedness because He gets us. That's blasphemy. He loves us. And He loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die for us. And there's it's so hard to believe, but there's wicked lifestyles that are anti-God lifestyles that people are claiming biblical support for. It's blasphemy. Diminishing divine honor. Now, can you believe in this list of horrible things? Can you believe the next one? Disobedient to parents. Wow. How did that get on the list? Oh, that's no big thing. You know, the kid, they know when I really mean it. Well, which time is that? The 10th time you tell them or the 15th? I mean, parenting is always fascinating. And by God's grace and help and the scriptures, God will help. It's doable. Disobedience to parents. And it kind of struck me as I was working on this throughout the week because I think in today's culture we would have a hard time defining exactly who parents are. There are more, unfortunately, and I hope this doesn't worsen, but it seems to be worsening, there are more and more powerful people that think that the parents, it's a synonymous word with government, that the government is the parent of the child. Disobedient to parents, perilous times, creeping in. Teach your children to obey. First of all, by your obedience to the Lord. By your submission to the authority in your life. And then bring them along and help them learn to obey. We move then to more current problems. This was written a long time ago. How about this problem? Verse 2, toward the end, they're unthankful. Unthankful. That's a problem. People are getting accustomed to believing that they're owed something. And from being owed something, then there is a departure from a thankful spirit. Well, I'm entitled to that. I'm owed that. I deserve that. Like, Christians are thankful people. We just are. We're kind to people. We thank people, but for a lot of issues, there's a lack of a thankful heart. And when you don't have a thankful heart, what do you have? You have bitterness. You have anger. You have rage. You have demands. You have rebellion. The unthankful, the unholy, those without God and without any interest in God. Next one's a tough one. These are all difficult, but we understand. Verse 3, without natural affection. Without natural affection. So it's unnatural affection. It's not natural affection. And the word affection here in this New Testament language, primarily it means hard-hearted toward kindred. Even beyond that, it means hard-hearted toward children. Our culture is struggling with an attitude toward children. That's unnatural. It is unnatural for a woman to be screaming for abortion rights. And we've got a lot of politicians in Minnesota. They think they've bought every ad space on television. And they're all telling you how, not all of them, but many of them are telling you how strong they are for abortion. And they're women. That's unnatural affection. You can lump in there too. We're not going to spend time on it, but you can take the whole homosexuality thing. All this trans stuff and all this going on in this nation of ours. Unnatural affection, and that's closing in on us. So don't be surprised and don't be discouraged. Just keep doing right. Keep living for the Lord. Keep loving the Lord. Keep helping those people that God has placed in your family and your relationships. Just all of those things. Truce breakers. That speaks of agreements made and vows and Attorneys, sometimes you just need to get things, make sure you're legally in the right spot and all of that. And there's some good Christian attorneys that help churches through some difficult things and some good advice and counsel. So those are good things. But a lot of times in the corporate world, or in, you know, there's this company's attorneys and that company's attorneys, and they draw up agreement after agreement after agreement, and everything's signed and all the agreements are made, and then at some point it's a disagreement, and all of those agreements can end up in court. Okay, this agreement, this says this, and this says this, and then the judge decides what it really means, and it's, it can get complicated, and they're probably quite expensive. But we see this. I mean, I've seen different athletes. Actually, someone that I know who coaches major college basketball signed a contract at his school, which was a smaller school, Bass College School. Huge contract. Committed, all signed. And a couple days later, this big school wanted him to come coach. So he did. I don't know how they work out contracts that are all signed, and but it happens, you know. A baseball manager or a football coach, or you know, they got this new contract and we're committed to this contract. We signed it. Something else comes along, and somehow the contract is gone. And you say, well, it's part of the business of it all. It's just the way things are done. And I don't say, I mean, sometimes that's necessary. I don't want to make anybody feel like they should never talk to an attorney. Sometimes it's necessary. But there's a lot to be said for the good old-fashioned handshake, especially between Christians. Because we're living in a day of truce breaking, agreements broken, vows broken. We go moving along here. We're not going to park on these things too terribly long. False accusers, those who slander, make accusations without truth. Boy, does that define our age or not? Accusations without truth. Please do not go swimming in the internet. You'll drown in nonsense. But you want to talk about false accusers. It's through our politicians to slander, to make accusations against others with no truth to it, no proof to it. The next one, incontinent, that is just a lack of self-control. It's people that they need someone to control them. And that's unfortunately where the government is stepping in more and more. And Christians are under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We're under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. He helps us in our decisions. But government more and more is, they're helping people not by self-control, but by external control. And you see all of these arguments over the different cameras at intersections and the surveillance that's going on that we're not, maybe not even aware of. I'm not a conspiracy guy. You know, have fun with your conspiracies. I'm not interested. I did read that China has 700 million facial recognition cameras. 700 million. That's one camera for every two people. Why? Because the government wants to control the people. They know where they are, who they're talking to, they know all of it. And I think some of the people in our country that are pushing that model of governance maybe need to understand some of those things. Some of them already do. Most of them don't. The lack of self-control. And people in authority positions, they know that people will act differently if they're being watched by authority. But to the Christian, we say, how do we behave, especially when nobody's watching, when nobody's around to see? Well, I hope we're just consistent Christians loving the Lord, doing right. But the idea is if you want people to obey the laws, you have to watch them all the time so you can go after them when they don't. Because there's a lack of self-control. Fierce, that is just an intensity, an aggression. It carries the word savage with it. It's just, you know, pummel your enemies. The next one we're facing, even today, more than we've ever faced in this country, it's despisers of those that are good. Bible-believing, born-again Christians are beginning to be seen as the problem in America, not the solution. The Word of God, people are talking about the Bible as the problem, not the solution. That is a growing thing. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, betraying trusts. Heady speaks of just acting now and thinking later or not at all. Just act, just do what you want. High-minded speaks of a high view of self, a low view of others. And then we get to the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and that's pretty obvious. That's just the way it is. So you get through this list and understand this. Don't be surprised, don't be discouraged. This has always existed. This 18 things, and there's more, but that's the 18 in the text. They've always existed. But now, not only do they exist, now it's common. It's normal. It's expected. And it's promoted. And I will challenge you. You look back, you read back through that list, and you think about what's promoted in America today. It's always existed. But there's always been people to stand against it. But it's always existed. Now, in the perilous times, the perilous days, this list is common, it's normal, it's expected, and it's promoted. That's the difference between our day and previous generations even. See, sin hasn't really changed much, but those who stand against sin, that group of people is shrinking daily. And this ends then with final instruction here. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This list that Paul gave Timothy by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, much of that is done under a religious cloak, or can be done under a religious cloak. Without the new birth, without the new nature, all while claiming Jesus and putting great effort to claim Jesus. Yes, you can have all this and Jesus too. No, you can't. You cannot have all of this and Jesus too. That's where repentance is. Just add Jesus to your life. Come to Christ in repentance, die to self, and be born by the Holy Spirit of God through the finished work of Christ upon the cross. This instruction then is to turn away. Turn away from people that hold all of these, do these, involved with these, and claim Christ. Turn away from them. The Greek, a deliberate reorientation from something and towards something else. To turn away in a protective measure. To maintain integrity. To recognize the danger. Turn away. This list of sins that we've worked through, things to avoid, the perilous times, promoted, in our world, and in our world promoted by a big part by those who claim to be followers of Jesus. You can't have both. A form of godliness, the cloak of godliness, the appearance of godliness with an unsaved heart is still an unsaved person. You need to be born again, a new nature from God, to turn away from false teachers. So do not be discouraged. Do not be surprised. Do not be discouraged. Stay close to the Lord, His Word. Stay close to His people. And you do the right thing in your life and seek to be a help and encouragement to others, and God will use you. You're not going to stop this onslaught of crowding in of all of this stuff. But Jesus is coming. The believers will be taken out of the world, and then God will bring His judgment on this place. And it will be something like the world has never seen before. God is good. He loves us. Jesus died for us. There is salvation. There is forgiveness. And there is peace through Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us today. These verses are challenging for us. We'd rather not talk about these things, but we must. It's right to do that because you've placed them in the Scriptures for us to learn from. And Father, help us to flee these sins and to turn away from those that will promote these sins in the name of Jesus. I pray for discernment for your people, and I pray that each one in this room knows what it is to be born again, to have the new birth. If not, we'd love to encourage them in that. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen.